Okay, so we're continuing in Ayin Vav Amud Aleph. So we got finished last week. We were doing the Shita of Rabbah. The question is, again, just to review the question here. So the problem we're dealing with is like this, that there's a stira in the Mishnayos. Our Mishnah dealing with Isser, like you buy a kli from a non-Jew, so it was used with Isser. So our Mishnah says, if you want to kasher the kli, you want to kasher the spit, the roasting kalim. So you need to be malabain ba'or, which means you have to really burn it out, right? You have to get the, if you had a grill that was used to roast treif, and you want to use it for kosher, so you have to really get the whole grill basically white hot, right? It's not that hard to do, but you got to get it white hot. So that's our Mishnah, Malabein Ba'or. But the Mishnah in Zvachim says that when they would cook the kudshim, so every day they would, so what's the problem with kudshim? The problem with kudshim is that the carbon will become nosar in a day or two, depending on the carbon, right? Shlomim is eaten for 2 days, and other things, chatas is for 1 day. But the bottom line is that if you're roasting a carbon, let's say you're roasting a chatas, so the tam of the chatas goes into the barbecue that they're using, and then the next day the tam is usar because it's nosar, right? Nosar means the carbon that stayed overnight on that was left out overnight. So the after the zman of its achila. So the problem is you have the grill, basically has iser nosar in the grill, and you need to use it now for the next carbon. So you have to kasher it. But the Mishnah in Zvachim says you don't need to do libun. All you need is basically the equivalent of a hagola, okay? And, I mean, more precisely, the Gemara there says every day when they would cook a carbon, it would basically be like kashering from the previous carbon. It's a little bit more complicated. I'm sorry, so that was the question. The question was, how come we're both dealing with, both cases are dealing with Isser? So how come when you have the Isser from the treif from the non-kosher food, the Mishnah says over here you need to do Libun, but when you're worried about the Isser Nosar and Kudshim, all the Mishnah over there says is Magilon to do a Hagalah, right? So what's the difference? It should be the same. So that's what the Gemara was going through possible answers. So one answer, what we were doing last week was Rabbah's answer. Basically Rabbah was saying that the thing is like this, that by kudshim, it turns out you have two types of korbanos, right? You have a korban that can be eaten for 1 day, and you have a korban that can be eaten for 2 days, right? So Rabbah said they always made sure to end off the day with a 2-day korban. So that way tomorrow there'll be no nosar. And what about the tam of the chatas that you cooked in it today? Well, when you're cooking the shlomim, it gets rid of that tam. Okay? But how does it get rid of the tam? Don't we say that, isn't the principle still the same? That if tam goes in through roasting, you can't get it out unless you make the grill white hot. So it's true you're cooking another carbon, but cooking another carbon is really equivalent to hagalah. Hagalah is boiling. So that was the problem.
Why do we say that? Why do we say it's the equivalent hagalah?
Right, because the fire is not exposed directly to the spit. So basically, hagalah cooking is like heating through a medium. That's the basic definition of cooking. Roasting is you're exposed directly to the fire, and cooking is you're heating something up and you're using that for your process of cooking. So in terms of the metal grill, in terms of the spit that's inside the animal, that's inside the basar, when you put that over the barbecue, the spit is really considered like now being heated through the basar. So you can't say that you've roasted the spit. But since you roasted the meat, since you were roasting the iser, you need to roast the spit itself. Now that's our rule. However you cook the iser, that's how you have to kasher the kli. So if I make a barbecue, so I'm roasting the iser. So if I'm roasting the iser, now I have to, so to speak, roast the kli that I used for it. So I'd have to take the spit and actually expose it directly to fire, right? But I'm not doing that. All I'm doing is basically putting the spit into a hot environment, which is the inside of the basar. So how does that get rid of all the tam? That was the question, right? It's very nice. You're going to cook a shlamim. So the last tam that goes in will be a two-day tam. But we're not worried about the tam that goes in. We're worried about getting the old tam out. That's our problem. You have old chattas in there. So it's very nice. You're adding shlamim. But how does that remove all of the tam of the chattas that's going to be nosar in the morning? Right? Yeah. So what was the answer to that question? Anybody remember? How do you get rid of the tam? Right? No, sof kol sof, you still have a little bit of tam chattas in there. And in the morning, it'll be nosar.
Didn't you say it was like not enough?
That's right. So the answer is that you have to remember that there's something unique over here. When you cook the chattas, it's heter, right? The chattas is mutter today. So that's heter abola. The chattas went in and it's heter. Right? Now, what am I worried about? I'm worried that tomorrow morning, there'll be an iser of nosar that's chal on the tam chattas, right? That chattas that's in the, yeah, exactly. It's going to be chal on the tam of the chattas that's in the kli. That's what I'm worried about. So this shita holds like this. It says that once I cook the shlamim, I've taken out most of the tam of the chattas already. Okay? Now the only thing that's left is what's called a tam kolosh. That's the way the Ritva was explaining it. Right? A weakened tam. It's no longer the primary tam of chattas. It's a weakened tam of chattas. And iser can't be chal on a weakened tam. So the reason why it works is because it went in as heter, and the only problem is that there'll be an iser that is chal on it tomorrow. But iser can't be chal on a tam that's weakened. That's the fact. That's factually what the Ritva was saying. Remember that? Gil? So we tried to explain what does it mean that the tam that nosar is not chal on the tam kolish. It's chal on the full tam, but not on the tam kolish. So we're saying like this: that nosar is only chal on the entity of the carbon itself, not just not something that is derived from the carbon. It has to be the nosar is when you have the shame carbon. That's long. That's overnight. Okay, so the idea was that there really are two primary forms of the hefts of the carbon. Okay, there are two primary forms of the hefts of the carbon. There's the be'en, there's the substance, the meat, and then there's the carbon in the framework of tam. Okay. But in the framework of tam, it's only considered an entity of tam when it's a full heftz of tam. If it's already been diminished, now it's just like a hint of the tam. It's just a you can't consider it an entity of tam itself. We gave an example. We said like if you have a spice. Right, like let's say I have cinnamon or pepper or something like that. So It's considered a spice because it has the qualities of being able to give a powerful tam to the food that it's added to. But let's say you had something that's 10 years old. You ever open up a spice thing and it's 10 years old. It barely has any flavor left, right? So it's true that if you'll add it to your food, you'll get a hint of the flavor, but you can no longer define it as a spice. It lost that definition. It doesn't exist anymore, essentially as an agent of time.
How do you define what that is, though?
You look at that thing on the bottom, best diffused before. So that's what he's saying. In our case, saying like this, he's saying if I cook the chatas on the grill, right? So now the tam that's existing in that grill is the full form of the tam of the chatas, because all the tam of the chatas went in, and all of the tam of the chatas is present in the grill itself. And if I were to use that grill on the next food, it would be a tam of the chatas coming out. You would actually be a transfer of the full tam in that kli. So if it exists in that state, then it's roy for the shame nosa to be chal in the tam, because it really is like chatas in its tam form. It really exists fully as a cheftza of tam chatas, because it has the potency of the chatas in it. It has the full potential of transferring the qualities of the chatas to the thing it's being used. It's like a fresh spice.
Before it becomes
nosar. And if I leave it till the next morning, the nosar will be chal on that tam. Because the chatas really exists in two ways. Most things exist in two ways. They exist in the substance, the basar, the meat. But it also could exist as a flavoring for something else. Right? But it's only defined as a flavoring for something else when it has the full potential to transfer its tam, like a fresh spice. Okay? But that's what the Gemara was answering. It says, as long as I cook something else in that thing with that same thing today, if I cook a shlomim at the end of the day, then that full, then most of the tam of the chatas left already. All that's left is like a remnant of the tam. That doesn't have a shame of chatas anymore. It's not one of the two forms of existence. We only have be'en or as an agent of tam. Not just a whisper of something. That's just like an extraction of the chatas. It's just a very weak remnant. So it's not that. So therefore, that was the Gemara's answer. As long as I do this before Nosar is chal, before the next morning, there won't be a shame chatas left in the kli for the Nosar to be chal on. It's true there'll be something. But that's called a tam kolish. That Isser can't be chal on a tam kolish. And we mentioned that that's really one of the pillars of Yara Day. If you learn through the Inyanim of Kashrus, you know, Basar B'cholav, that's one of the main ideas over there is the same thing by Basar and Cholav. That if I have, like the Sfaradim hold like this, let's say I have a pot that was used for meat, right? And I cook spaghetti in the pot, right? So can I take the spaghetti and add cheese to it? Out of the pot, put the spaghetti on another plate and I mix it with cheese. So what's the issue? The issue obviously is basar and chol of being mixed, right? So we say like this. We say, according to the Svardim, l'chatchil it's mutter. According to the Ashkenazim, it's mutter b'dievet. But what's the concept? The concept is like this. What is in the pot? The full tom of the basar is in that pot, right? If I cook milk in that pot, it would all be treif. But now I'm cooking the spaghetti in the pot. So what comes into the spaghetti? A weakened tam. Okay. So now in the spaghetti, I don't have any more. I have already a tam kolish of the basar. So therefore, we'll say that basar b'cholav won't be chal on already a transferred tam. That's called a not bar not. That's not bar not. So it's a similar concept over here. That in order for Isser to be chal, Isser has to be chal on the full identity of the cheftza, on its primary existence, not on its compromised state of existence. So therefore, there will be, as long as I end each day with a shlamim, I'll remove enough of the tam chatas to prevent the chalos iser nosar the next morning. Okay? It's a beautiful answer that that Rabba gave. But you have to remember, this is what we were stressing last week, this whole idea is dependent on one thing, and that is doing the bishul of the on the kli before the next morning. If I would wait till the next morning, it would already be nosar, and if I would try to do a hagala, it wouldn't work. Why? Because just like iser. Because once iser is in the kli, then every little bit of time that comes out of it is aser. We're not saying that what's left over in the kli after the bishul is not tam. It is tam, but it's not tam that's roy for a new chalos shame of iser, for an iser to be chal on it. But if I have treif, someone cooked treif in a pot or on the grill, and let's say I get most of the tam or the treif out, am I allowed to use the pot? No. Because even a small amount of tam iser is aser. The chilik over here is between, is in terms of preventing, there's a difference between the amount of tam you need to prevent a shame from being chal, and the amount of tam that we say that of something that is aser, which remains aser. Any amount of tam of something that's aser remains usher. Why? Because I can't even have a remnant of iser. I can't even have a hint of iser in my food. But since in terms of saying will nosar bichal, that's dafka on a pristine iser. That's dafka on the spice of the chatas, on the chatas betoras, tavlin, not just on any remnant of chatas. So it's all contingent on getting the chatas out, getting enough of it out before the morning. But if you'd wait till the morning, then you'd need liban on that kli. You understand? If you'd wait till the morning and you didn't do anything until the morning, so then nosar is chal on all the time in the kli. All the time in the kli is now nosar, and now it's no different than having a kli that you cooked chaza with. You have a kli that's filled with tam iser. You want to do hagal on it? That's very nice. But you're still going to be left over with a little bit of tam iser. How much time iser can you have? No time iser. So it's not going to help you to do hagala once the iser is already chal. That was Rabba's answer. Our Mishnah is talking about you buy a kli that already has iser in it. So how can you use it? You have to get rid of all the iser in order to use it. How do you get rid of all the iser? Liban. But the Gemara, the Mishnah in Zvachim, was talking about prevent getting enough iser out to prevent the chalos of nosar the next morning. How much time do you have to get out to prevent the chalos of nosar? Most of it. You understand? Yeah. So it's all a matter of proactive versus reactive. Right? If you're proactive and you're preventing the chalos of the iser, that's always true. It's almost always true. Prevention is always easier than cleaning up the problem that you find, right? That's a life lesson. Life lesson here. As they call it, a stitch in time saves nine. But more later. So the same thing over here. It's always one in nine. If you get it out early, you'll need less. You need less to prevent it from being chal than you do to remove the iser that is chal. Okay? Okay, but again, I know it might sound like I'm being repetitive, but it's the ikar of going from this step to the next step is to realize that this whole answer is dependent on the idea that you're getting it before the zman nosar. If you would wait until the zman nosar, it would be too late. Okay, now Rav Ashi comes and goes one step further. Yeah. Okay, so Rav Ashi says. And really, what Rabba was doing was explaining the... Rav Ashi says, Li'olam kid de Omron me'ikara. So what did we say originally? We said like this. If you go back to the very beginning of the Gemara said, right, it's an interesting case, right? Rav Amram asked Rav Sheshes about the stira between our Gemara and the Gemara in Kachim. And he said to Amram Bri, Rav Sheshes said, Amram Bri, Mayin et Kachim etzel gili of the chavim. What are you asking a question from? Kachim to Isser. Hacha heterabala. Hasa misurabala. So what's your question? There's no question. Over there by Kudshim, it's Heter that goes in. Over here, it's Isser that goes in. So over there, you only need Gil, you only need boiling, and over here you need Libun. That's how we kicked off the whole sugya. The only thing is, Rabbah said that the Rav Sheshet doesn't make any sense. Why? Because Rabbah said it's very nice when it goes in its Heter. But sof, ki kapolit isur kapolit. That was Rabbah's problem. He says, what are you talking about, Rav Sheshet? Well, very nice, historically, when it went in, it was Heter. But we're not worried about, we're not talking about when it went in. We're talking about when it's coming out. So it's true it went in when it was Heter, but it's coming out when it's Isser. So if it's coming out when it's Isser, it should need Libun. That's why Rabbah said, prevent the Isser, prevent it. Get it before it turns into Isser, then it'll work. But Rav Sheshet's initial idea was, even after it turned to Isser, it should still be Mutter. So that's what Rav Ashi is coming back to answer up what Rav Sheshet, how Rav Sheshet made sense. Because Rabbah seemed to have a powerful question. It's very nice. When it went in, it was Heter.
We're assuming Rav Sheshet is using Hagalah.
Yeah, Rav Sheshet is explaining the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says all you need is Hagalah by Kudshim. Right? And his answer was, because when it went in, it was Heter. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we're talking about when it's coming out. When it's coming out, it's Isser. So what's the difference? So that's where Rabbah had to take the route of saying, you're doing the Hagalah before the Isser is Chal. That prevents it from being Chal. But Rav Sheshet was proposing that it would work even after the Isser is Chal, which seems impossible. Because after the Isser is Chal, now you have the full-time Isser in the Kli. You should have to do Liban to get out all the time. Okay? So Rav Ashi says, Li'olam kidda omar me'ikara. Really, Rav Sheshet was right. Hacha heter bola. By the Kudshim, all that's going in is Heter. And Hacha, by Avodah Zarah, Isura bola. Ay, udekar kasha lochte be'idna dekapol, Isura kapolet? So you had a question, how could you say Heter bola is good? When it comes out, it's Isser? Good question.
Meaning it was mutter when it was initially bolea?
Yeah, but now we have to deal with what it is now. Right now it's Isser. That was your kasha. Your kasha is, it's true it went in as Heter, but right now it's Isser. So don't you have to get out all the Isser? Rosenthal, you have to get out all the Isser?
Yeah.
Of course you have to get out all the Isser. So he says like this. So how does he answer that question? Bo'idna dekapolit, when it's coming out, lo ise le'isura be'ene. The Isser is not be'en.
Oh, I thought it was
be'ene. Be'ene, no. Be'en means in its natural form. You know, it's only in the form of tam. So what? Who cares? I mean, that's exactly what you're worried about, is the tam. What does this mean? How is Rav Ashi solving the problem? It's a tremendous problem. You have a kli that you left overnight. All of the tam becomes nosar. And Rav Ashi says, it's okay because it didn't go in as heter. It didn't go in as isser. Now it's isser? Yeah, but now it's not be'en.
Well, in the
face
of all kashas,
yeah, all kashas is not be'en when you see it. I mean,
how do you call it be'en?
It's not be'en.
Yeah.
Right, let's see Rashi. He says, Li'olam kid amrinan me'ikara. Dainu mishum de bekodshim hetera bola. It's because of that. Ude kasha loch ki polit isura polit. And you had that original question that got us started on that whole other train of thought. Lo chomer isuro. Rashi's trying to explain here. The isur is not that chomer. It's not that strict. Why? Shekishenasa nosar, when it actually became nosar, lohavi isur be'ene. In other words, we're not talking about a piece of meat that is be'en, that you see it in its natural form and it becomes nosar. We're talking about tam. So there's nothing that's really, I mean, what you're saying is right. Be'ene means like visible. There's nothing that's really...
That's what I'm like. Even if it was cooked as isur, if...
Okay, hold on. So he says, when it becomes nosar, it's not be'en. It's not in its natural form. Why? Shebetoch dofnei hakli hoya balua. It's inside the kelim. Umi olam lo hukar isuro. You never recognize the isur. I mean, it's very funny. It's like what? Like, you know, what you don't see doesn't exist. I mean, it's like, how does it, halachically speaking, we know it's in there. Halachically speaking, and you need Hagala. I mean, Rav Ashi's not saying you don't need Hagala. So he's admitting there is Tam Nosar in there. So what's the difference? I mean, if you want to say some kind of an idea that things that are invisible to the eye, we just whatever. Okay, that would be... but then you shouldn't worry about anything. You shouldn't need Hagala either. But you need Hagala, so there definitely was Yisr Nosar Chal on the Tam that's in the Kli. So once it's Chal on the Tam in the Kli, why don't you have to get it all out, just like Chazar? Okay, so the Ritva explains, like we were saying, that that Rav Ashi is going back to the original answer. Okay. Now he says like this. Who can tell me, so what? Where's another case of Hetera Bola?
Pesach. Yeah.
So Chametz on Pesach is a similar kind of a situation. Why? When did you use the Kli? When did you use the Chametz Kli? It was during the year, it was Heter. It was all Mutter. Comes Yontif, it's Isser. So that's the question. Can you compare Chametz to Kachim? So the Ravid says that's exactly the case. He says, therefore, Diktek Rabbeinu HaRavid Zal, Dekelim Shel Pesach, Vafilu HaShvudim, even things that you used directly on the fire, V'Haskela, which normally if you used them for treif would require a Libun, for Chametz purposes, B'Hagola Sagiluhu, all you need is Hagola. The Hayatera Bali, because when they went in, it was Heter. V'hainu nami tamar damrin and hosam gabi sakinin de pischa de sagilu beroskin mashen came besakin shal nachrim devin and libun, and he has a raya because there's a gemara that says the knife for the knife that you want to use for Pesach you only have to do hagal on it, but there's another gemara that says if you buy the knife from a guy you have to do libun on it, so the raya is saying yeah that's why, because the knife from the guy is iser. And the knife from the Jew is just chametz, that's heter. You might be wondering, why would a knife need libun? Because I used to say they would cut with it over the fire. They'd like cut the roast, like a shawarma guy, you know?
Yeah,
that's exactly. So you'd have to do libun on that knife, right? So that's his argument. His argument is a terrible. And in terms of halacha l'maisa, we're makel sometimes with the Ravid's question, with the Ravid's shita. That's why if you look through the halachos of kashering kelim on Pesach, we're a little more makel because of this idea of the Ravid. Now, basically we hold anytime there's a suffix if you need libun or not, so we'll attach the Ravid's shita and we'll say it's like a sveik. Maybe you need libun and maybe you don't need libun. Like a frying pan is the case where there's a question if you need libun or not. Do you consider a frying pan? I think we mentioned it last week. Do you consider when you make pancakes, is that considered like bishul or is that considered like tzli or a fia? Because on the one hand, you have a little bit of oil, so that's your medium, right? But on the other hand, the oil is really there just so it doesn't stick. It's not really being used to, it's not like a deep fryer, right? So that's why there's a suffix about a frying pan if you need to do libun or hagala. That's why if you trafe up a frying pan, it's a big problem because I don't think people really, I don't know if you can really do libun on it. I mean, it's very difficult. But on Pesach, for Pesach, we hold you can do hagala on the frying pan. Why? Because it's only a suffix if you need, this is a suffix if you need libun or hagala to begin with. And even if you need libun, the Ravid holds, since it's a terabola, hagol is enough, just like kachim. So we don't really, we use it like a sveik kind of thing, exactly. Okay? But anyway, but let's get down to the basic question itself. Do you consider chametz heterabola or isurabola? So the Ravid's argument is it's a terabola. And it's a pretty straightforward argument. When you used it, was it this or a heter? Heter. That's the end of the question. Okay, but the Ramban was very against this idea. Let's see the Ramban. Anyone read it? Vein zed das agonim zah.
Isurei bali.
Right. So the Ramban, and it says in the Rambam too, and the Gaonim, disagree with this Ravid. They say, Chometz is considered Isur bala. How is that possible? Go ahead. Okay, so he's trying to explain that you only say a terabola by the case of kajim alone. Why? Because when it was being used, when the tam went in, there was no iser at all. Okay, so I can say that about chametz too. Good, but why? Because the iser, what is the iser? Nosa. Go ahead. Akati lo haya nosar.
Akati lo haya nosar. Below nesar klal.
So when I use it for kachim, so what iser are we talking about? The iser nosar. Does nosar exist in any way, shape, or form now?
No.
No. The whole idea of nosar is something that is a day old, right? The whole idea of nosar is something that's a day old, by chatas at least. Okay, go ahead. So far, so good. So I can see a little bit of a chilek, right? Because you would say, though, that chametz, before yantif, is still chametz. You know what I mean? Let's just stop for a moment. Right? You have to hear that chilek. That there's a difference between chametz before Pesach and nos and kudshin before nosar. Kudshin before nosar, there's no shame iser at all. But chametz before Pesach
is the form of iser that it would take.
Yeah, it's a fine distinction. You have to really get that straight. Let's think about it a little more. Exactly right. In other words, one is in terms of the shame itself, right? The nosar, you can't say that kudshim before the next morning have a shame nosar. Nosar by definition means it stayed overnight. You can't say a thing before the nightfall has the shame of something that stayed overnight, right? That's like saying a child has the identity of an adult. I mean, they're just different things. They're just different objects. But chametz is chametz, whether it's yud gimel, yud dalet, tesvav. The only thing is, on tesvav, there's a certain consequence to chametz that doesn't exist on yud dalet or yud gimel. We care about it on Pesach, but that doesn't make it what it is. You don't say the definition of chametz is bread on Pesach. No, that's not the definition of chametz. The definition of chametz is leavened bread. Now, there's a certain halacha. On this day, you can't have that. Right? So, it always has the identity. It's just some times of the year we care about that identity, and some times of the year we don't care about that identity. But you can't say nosar has the identity of nosar all day, and we don't care about it until the next morning. That's a very change in its definition the next morning. Okay? But we still don't know, Elio is right, we still don't know why that makes a difference, but it's a good chilek. Yeah, it's a good chilek, just to appreciate that chilek. Go ahead. Okay, stop for a minute. So he says, the nosar, there's no shame nosar at all in the kli when you cook the khatas. Zero shame nosar. Only after it's balua in the kli does it become nosar. Now here's the key to what he's saying. And at that moment... Hold on, not to yet. And at that moment, ein iser nosar roi lichol elo alma sheroi liflot al yidei hagola shehi blia gidola shehi bonasinas tam. Fantastic. What's he saying? That the iser nosar itself will be chal only on what?
Roy
only on that which is roy to give off tam.
Yeah.
Bihagola. Continue.
Ukishahagel apopi shinish arba tam.
Ma'at, you have tam? Yeah, okay. So now he has the problem. So let's go through the steps now. So in other words, I wake up, the Kohen wakes up the next morning, and there's nosar in the kli. He missed it, right? Nosar in the kli. So what he does, hagala, and he gets out most of the time. Yeah, but what about the rest of the time? What about the rest of the tam that's only going to come out through the roasting? Go ahead. Oso ma'at shenishar?
Eino
oser. That little bit that's left in there is not oser at all.
What's this talking about?
Talking about the kudshim.
Or it's just, you don't consider it strong in
the case. The kudshim case.
The kudshim case post-Hagalah?
Post-Nosar, post-Hagalah. That's right. Because remember, it's not the answer. It's not the answer of the last time. It's not the answer of preempting Nosar. Rav Ashi is saying, even after Nosar is chal, all you need to do is Hagalah. How is that possible? Right? How is that possible? So what's the answer? Hey, listen to the Ramban. I mean, they all give the same way of thinking. It's all quoted from the. It basically goes back to the Ramban. But sometimes just to see it in different expressions, it makes it a little easier. He says, "Ulachashu balua v'hu shechal olav shame zeh." Right. The only time nosar is chal is after it's in the walls of the kli. V'ein iser nosar chal al balua. Okay. Ella b'mashu roi liflot al yedei agola. The only thing that nosar is chal on is on a tam that is capable of coming out and affecting another dish. Ukishehagil, afal pisha nishar bo ma'at, she'eno poletis al yideha or, eina oseris. And there's that little bit that still is in there is not usher. We don't know his svara. No, so that's the differentiation, thank you, for chametz and nosar. When chametz goes in, it all has the shame chametz, right? When yontif starts, everything that has the shame chametz is iser. Here, no shame nosar went in. Only busser went, tam busser went in. And the shame nosar is only chal on the ikker tam that went in. So it's true, so if the next morning when you do Hagalah, you won't get out all the tam, but you'll get out everything that has the shame nosar in it. But by chametz, you won't get out everything that has the shame chametz. That's just the facts. We have to understand this for a little bit. He won't say that's what Rashi means, but hold on. No, so let's just state clearly the difference between Rabbah and Rav Ashi, okay? And then maybe we'll be able to define what they're arguing about a little bit better. In other words, Rabbah is saying, if I have tam that's absorbed in the kli, and I wait till the next morning, all of the tam becomes nosar. Right? Every bit of the tam becomes nosar. The only way to prevent the nosar is to get out a sheer guddle of tam before the zman of nosar itself, and then there'll only be an insignificant amount, and it won't be able to be chal on that insignificant amount. But listen to what I just said. That means to say, it's a phenomenal thing. You have to appreciate what we're saying now. Saying that if I only have the red there when it's the zman nosar, no nosar will be chal. Right? But if I have all of the tam there at the zman nosar, it'll be chal on even the red. That itself is something we have to think about. Right? Why don't you say, well, there's a little bit of tam kolish in there, so forget about that. You see what I'm saying? But that's exactly what Rav Ashi is saying. Rav Ashi is saying that even when all the tam is in there, it's only going to be chal on the significant part of the tam.
That red is never.
And the red is never significant because that red will never be able to come out and really affect another taste. But what's the machlokas? What's the machlokas? I mean, so now we're sort of narrowing down we're sort of cornering it now. Now we can put down the machlokas onto one point. When you have all the tam, and everybody agrees that nosar is not chal on a tam kolish. Everyone agrees nosar is not chal on an insignificant entity of tam. But the question is, when you have all of the tam together, does that mean it's going to be chal on everything or only on the significant portion of the tam? But still, that's not a definition. That's a good description. Yeah. On the blue. I think you should think about it. I think it's a good thing to think about now that we've gotten to this point. But I would just give you an approach. In other words, how would you approach the problem? Which side do you want to? Anybody want to give something from one of the sides? Yeah, the machlokas, Rav Ashi and Rabba. I mean, the machlokas between the Ramban and the Ravid is very hard. But so in other words, you could say for Rabba, he's looking at it like this. He's saying you got to look at the kli. I think it comes down to this question. I know I told you to think about it, but think about this also. Comes down to this question. Now, we have to remember how we started out the whole thing. We said that there's two kinds of things. There's the be'en and there's the tam. Right? There's an entity of be'en, that's like the basar, that's the chatas be'en, and then there's the chatas betam, meaning it exists as an entity of tam. And an entity of tam, that's like tam kolosh, is not roy for the chalos of nosar. That we can all agree on. Question is, what do we really mean when we say an entity of tam? What do we really mean by that? Tam floating around in the air doesn't exist, right? So although tam is not a be'en, it's not a substance, it's not a solid thing like meat that I can hold and feel, there has to be some physicality to the tam. There is some entity. I need to have it localized. I need a cheftza that I can say, this is the tam. So what Rabba is saying, the kli itself becomes the cheftza of tam. Okay, we look at the whole kli like it is now the entity of tam, and we only have to ask ourselves one question. What kind of an entity of tam is the kli? Is it an entity of full tam, or is it an entity of tam kolish? And the din is nosar is chal on an entity of tam gomor and not on an entity of tam kolish. So as long as I have the blue and the red together in the kli, then the whole kli is defined as an entity of tam gomor. Once the kli is a cheftza of tam gomor, then the noser is chal on the kli, on the whole kli, every part of it. Every entity of tam that's a part of that kli, it becomes the tam noser. But if the kli had a gola first, then I can't say there exists anywhere an entity of tam, an entity of tam gomor. It only exists an entity of tam kolish. Tam Kolish, that's what we call the weakened Tom.
So what's the Kli?
The Kli is just an entity of Tom Kolish. There's no existence, there's no reality to the shame of Tom Chattis if the Kli had a Gola earlier. If the Kli didn't, then I can say, well, where's my entity of Tom? The whole Kli is everything, the whole Kli is qualified as a Cheftz of Tom. Okay? What Rav Ashi says is, we always look at tam in terms of its effect. That's the only way we can define tam. We can't, in other words, Rabba is saying, look, there was tam in the basar, the tam was transferred to the kli, so now we'll treat the kli itself like a new entity of tam. It's like a new creation, it's like a new type of a thing. It's a tam entity. Rav Ashi says there's no such thing as an entity of tam. Tam always has to be judged on its own framework. And the only framework of tam is what? Its effect on something else. So even within one kli, I can say, well, there's two kinds of tam within this kli. There's the tam gomor within this kli and the tam kolish within this kli. What's the difference? The tam gomor is by definition that which will come out and affect another chaticha. So he says, even within the kli, there are two kinds of tamim. And that's basically what I'm trying to say. The question is, when you have these different tamim within one cheftz of kli, so Rabba says, well, that becomes a new entity. The whole thing becomes like a cheftz of tam now. Whereas Rav Ashi, because it's housed, it's contained it's supported by some substance that is that's housing the tam. So now I'll treat the whole thing like one cheftza of tam. Where Ravashi says that's a fiction. Tam is nothing more than a sensory experience. That's what tam is. It's not something you can really, you don't really define it like a cheftza anymore. You just define it by effect. So if one kli has two kinds of tamim in it, I have to treat them differently. Because if I will boil that kli, then the tam of effect comes out. And whatever's left is not a tam of effect. So that shows you there are two kinds of entities within this one kli. And the Isser Nosar is only roi to bichal on a cheftz, on an entity of tam. But that's the question. I mean, this is what I want you to think about a little more. What I'm trying to say is like this. When you have two kinds of tam contained in one kli, Rabba says, therefore, it's all one cheftza. It's all one uniform identity of tam. You can't break it up anymore. Whereas Rav Ashi says, there's no, tam is only defined by what it can do. So it could be that within one kli, there are two kinds of tam. So the Issel Bichal in the blue and not in the red. But that's the question. When you take tam out of its be'en, you take tam out of its natural existence within basar, and you transport it to another cheftza, do I say it now exists within that cheftza? Like, does it now turn this cheftza like into a new piece of meat? So now it's like I have a piece of meat.
Like a new be'en.
A new be'en, exactly. Like a new be'en. It's like a be'en now of tam. That's where Ravashi.
Flavor giver.
Exactly. It's like, that's what Ravashi is saying. He's saying, no! He says, you can't look at this stick like an iser be'en. This stick is just layers of kinds of tam. But the deepest layer is never, still not a be'en. So you can't treat the deepest layer of tam like an entity of tam. It's roi for the chalos of nosam. So I think the way Gil put it is really exactly right. Hitting the spit on the head. And that is, that can you ever call, when you transfer the tam from a be'en like meat into a new cheftza, can I now call this like a be'en of tam? If I do, then everything is chal. If I always treat it like just a supporter of some, you know, flavor, I always consider it just like a supporter of an abstract, of a more, you know, intangible flavor, then I'll always have to treat each one on its own. And then it'll only be chal on the full flavor. But that's the way. So, but by chametz you don't have that question because it all has the same chametz. All right, think it over though. Yeah. He's saying it's because that Aish will only get out. That's why I made it deep. In other words, if you think about the Aish as depositing Tom very deep in, right, and the Hagala will never extract out that Tom, so then that always means that in the cooking process, that layer of red will never have an effect on the food, because it'll
if it's used in
roasting, no, it'll always be the outer layers of the, it'll always be the more
exterior
layers. That's a good question. I'll think about it a little more. But he's saying that even the shvud has the parts that come out easily and the part that barely budges. The part that only very little goes into and very little comes out of. The deep center of this of the spit, he's saying, does not have enough deposited there that's ever roy to flavor anything. Even when you do roasting again. The ikar tam is concentrated on the outside. But let me think it over. There's something I have to think about. Okay.